And it goes something like this. Don't go for second best, baby. Put your love to the test. You know, you got to make him express how he feels. And maybe then you know your love is real. You don't need diamond rings or 18 karat gold. Fancy cars that go.
Good afternoon, Jennifer.
Good afternoon. Hi, Ed.
Hi. Good afternoon, Josh.
Welcome to Gleeful Podcast. We are your hosts, Josh, Jen, and Ed, and we are back to discuss episode, I don't know, of Glee.
Entitled The Power of Madonna.
The Power Hello. Of Madonna. Well, I was looking for the number, but I couldn't remember the number.
Oh, it's and number 15. Number 15. You should know
15.
That, too.
Wow.
Yes, well, I'm impressed. So yes, it was a good episode. Very excited. They've been pumping this episode forever.
Yes.
And it worked. It was the most watched live episode of Glee, even trumping the pilot episode.
Which I believe didn't last week trump the pilot as well?
Yes, it did. Yeah. It's obviously the momentum's going to have to stop. Like, we all understand mass velocity. The momentum's going to stop. But at some point, it's nice to see it going, getting bigger and better. And after last week's, I wouldn't say misstep, but not perfect mark, people were like, oh, this show is like, and then here, it's back, in your face.
Wait, so did you say mass velocity?
Yes.
Do you mean
mass times velocity?
Oh, mass times? Like, yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, you're in college.
I'm in college.
I thought you meant critical mass, which also works in that statement, so nicely done.
Thank you.
I guess right off the top, let's get out of the way. Ed, what are your feelings on Madonna?
Well, I'm much more, I'm not like super dedicated to Madonna, but I really enjoyed this episode. There were some songs I actually didn't know until this episode, but overall, I think it was a very well put together, well structured, well executed episode.
Jennifer, Madonna?
Well, I've been a big fan since the beginning, and though I don't necessarily care for like her personal persona, I think she is somebody who has done a lot and achieved a lot and entertained for many, many years, so I admire her in that respect.
And musically?
Musically, I enjoy it.
Okay. I have to say, I knew all the songs in the episode. I think I've heard every Madonna song at one point or another. I listened to a lot of Madonna in high school with my girlfriend. It's a wonder I like women. So it's, wow. Anyway, so yes, Madonna, it was an interesting choice, but definitely suited the show and definitely had a tone. I guess according to this episode, the thesis statement of Madonna is... Or the thesis statement of Madonna is it makes you want to do it. That seems to be what this show had to say about her.
Or just empowerment in general. Yeah, and if that gets you horny, so well.
And apparently empowerment makes you want to do it. I don't know. I was a little surprised. We've discussed on this show before about how, you know, is Glee really a family show or not? And we had
totally
a couple listeners weigh in on that.
I noticed every time it came on, it reminded you in the corner. TV 14. Don't be fooled by the singing and dancing kids. It's not for you.
Yeah, this is not High School Musical.
Yeah, don't let those cheerleaders fool you.
It was there was some naughty stuff in this episode, which we will discuss. But a lot of things happened, and I guess we can just get right into it. I guess the main crux of the plot, or at least how we opened up, let's talk about that. We opened up with Sue Sylvester writing in her diary, Sue's Journal.
Yes.
It was awesome. Talking about Madonna and how Madonna was an inspiration in her life. There were so many good quotes in this episode that I was not able to get all of them, but we did have a couple that were sent in to us by listener Jonathan. And we'll have to get to those, but he did write down my favorite, which was Britney saying, "When I pulled my hamstring, I went to a misogynist." But Sue had lots of great quotes about Madonna and the effect of Madonna on her life. We learned a couple odd things about Sue, particularly why her hair is so short. Apparently, she tried to dye it with
any sort of household chemicals available.
Yeah, so their
including
sister.
Napalm.
Napalm. And her great line, "My parents weren't around much because they were hunting Nazis." Famed Nazi.
They were famous,
hunters.
Famous Nazi hunters.
Yes.
So good. She requested that the principal play Madonna at an ear-splitting volume throughout the entire school throughout the day. And he said, "But with the sound of all those tasty hooks, no one will be able to concentrate on their work."
It doesn't matter. Madonna never went to college.
Yeah. So we shouldn't just recite jokes from the show, but let's talk a little bit about Sue Sylvester. So she ended up drafting Mercedes and Kurt to... I guess they kind of drafted
her.
They enlisted her.
Yeah.
To recreate Vogue and kind of glam up Sue.
Yeah, but they also were doing that as a way into the Cheerios so that they could have more of a... They were more in the forefront.
It was interesting. It was the first time where Sue almost didn't have to conspire against Glee. Mm-hmm. Glee kind of came to her.
This is not the first time.
All right. So not the first time that Glee has kind of come to her for assistance?
No, it's not the first time that she just rolled with the punches and it all worked out for
True.
Her. Like it wasn't her idea to have the other team steal the set list. Will Schuster accused her of it and was like, "Oh, that's a good idea."
She really had the hair jokes in full swing on this episode. Her insults of Will's hair.
But when he got back at her, I actually felt kind of sad.
I know. I was like, I thought it was a little too much. A little too much.
Jennifer had to rewind it because I was laughing so hard when she turned around and started throwing people around the hallway. I could not stand it.
I couldn't hear a thing.
Oh, so
your laughter.
So good. So yes, they recreated the Vogue video as a way to make Sue feel pretty. That was that video is kind of genius in its ability to do exactly what the Vogue video does. And Ed, you've seen that video quite a bit. You'd said you've been watching that one on a loop.
Yes, I did watch it on loop, and then later I actually finally decided to watch the original video because I never really I've seen flashes.
Wow.
I had ideas of what I thought it was like. Uh-huh. I was like, I was really impressed at how true to it was.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was shocking how close it was.
Wasn't that song recorded for Dick Tracy, or was it just around the same time?
I think it was around the same time. I don't see that fitting into. Dick Tracy at all.
So I know one of the guys from the original Vogue video, but I cannot for the life of me remember his name.
Oh.
But the Latin dancer who was also on the whole tour of the whole Truth or Dare tour with her. And he's an incredibly nice guy who's no longer performer anymore. He's now a publicist assistant. So anyway, the original video was directed by David Fincher, who's gone on to do, you know, Seven and most recently Benjamin Button and Zodiac, which was amazing. And it was very kind of seminal for the time. And you're right, Ed, they just kind of, in a way, to make it shot for shot, which made it both an homage and an imitation. It was really well done. I don't know. Jennifer, what did you think of the Vogue video?
Wow, you read a lot into it. I thought it was just a lot of fun. I thought that the way, she got to finally be Madonna and be these other characters was fun to see Sue do that. And also now knowing the backstory, because we saw the video last week, but now knowing the backstory and seeing how Mercedes and Kurt were helping her out to fulfill this fantasy, that made it even more fun. And seeing them, again, seeing them get a little bit more of the spotlight, I enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's true. They got that great song. So this all led up to them not really leaving Glee, but saying that they were going to join the Cheerios.
Yeah, I mean, the other girls are doing both.
Yeah. Join the Cheerios as vocalists. Sue's quote was something like, "I decided to add vocals to my already overproduced musical numbers."
Yes. Yeah, to perform as...
There was a very poignant... phrasing that they chose when Kurt was like, "I'm doing both," and it obviously brought flashes of episode one with Finn talking to Puck about doing football, like, "I'm doing both," And then the same thing and the same self-referencing happened with Artie and Tina, where, like, if you want to get up on this, I was like, when, in reference to their first public number when they were trying to get more members, I was like, oh, that's clever. That's clever, oh. Ryan.
I did not pick up on that. That's very clever.
Totally missed that.
Wow. Oh, there you go. The original Vogue music video was also shot at the Burbank Studios in Burbank, California in 1990. Totally random things you learn on the internet. But anyway, so eventually we ended the episode with the performance of Kurt and Mercedes on their inaugural joining of the Cheerios. They performed 4 Minutes to Save the World, which was originally a Madonna and Justin Timberlake cover. As far as modern Madonna goes, it all pretty much falls flat for me. But this song, for some reason, I really dig this one. I think I just like Justin Timberlake. I think I just have a guy crush on him. Ed, is this one of the ones you didn't know?
Of course I know 4 Minutes. Are you kidding me?
Whoa. Okay.
I'll tell you the one that I didn't know, okay?
Well, let's give a listen to Mercedes and Kurt performing 4 Minutes. So, Ed, what do you think is in store for us now that we've got Kurt and Mercedes splitting their time? Do you think Sue's going to try to turn them against?
I honestly think it's going to not be a major plot point. I mean, no more than anything else is. Every day is a drama with these kids. So I don't even see it as being major. It's just
That should be the new tagline for the show.
Every
day is a new drama with these kids.
Yeah, seriously. Every day.
It's not Secret Life of American Teenager by any means, but it just seems so not like groundbreakingly crazy. I mean, Santana and Brittany split their time. It's not really that big of a deal. Speaking of Santana, she's really developing as a character. I don't know if we want to go into that yet, though.
We will. Let's go ahead and talk about that, because straight up, like, Santana and Brittany are already stealing, like, they've been stealing scenes for a while, but Santana's becoming a character.
I was like, hold on, Santana? You mean that other girl? There's, like, Quinn, and there's Brittany, and then it's like, oh, the other cheerleader.
Oh, yeah, and Quinn can't get a line in to save her life.
She
talked this week,
she's
and
nothing
I forgot
to get
what she sounded
anymore.
Like.
All she has is, according to what I've been reading on Entertainment Weekly, is she doesn't even give birth till the end of the season anyway, so she's poor. She's gone.
Her bump keeps disappearing, so it's
I was like, where did her bump go during
Express Yourself number?
I was like, wow, that's a pretty powerful corset.
Yeah, seriously. Very flattering.
All pregnant women should wear them.
I think there was a plot point on Eureka about a shirt that did that. Totally geeky reference.
Wow, I missed that show.
Anyway, it is funny, you know, when you see the public appearances, when you see these guys out and about, Santana and Brittany are never with them. And I want to say that I did see them in the background when they performed on Oprah, but I don't think they were there when they performed for the president, and they definitely weren't there when we saw the Q&A.
I just watched those videos yesterday, and they came out during Don't Stop Believing in the background.
Well, they definitely weren't there when we did the Q&A, and they didn't do any of the early press, but they're becoming a really significant part of their show. Like, quite frankly, Britney's jokes are so funny. They cap off the promo this week. Her whole, like, I think my cat is reading my diary.
Oh, everyone. Okay, it's crazy how many people have come up to me and like and talked to me about that line. I'm like, I know, I'm super excited.
So we did get an email from listener Sergio, who he said you guys were talking about how the writers are not caring about the timeline and how quick it moves along, and as someone who's in high school, I think that the timeline is just right because somebody can be off one day or can be your boyfriend, best friend forever one day and your worst enemy the next. And the same with dating. You guys had it right from the beginning. It's musical chairs of dating.
Wow.
So, okay. So yeah, listener Sergio kind of weighs in on the show. He says he's also from the same high school, which isn't that great. Or the same high school from High School Musical, which isn't that great. So. But thank you very much, listener Sergio. And he sent this from his iPad, which means
so jealous.
Someone should punch him in the face. No, so thank you very much for that.
Don't be mean.
No, so it'll definitely be interesting to see what happens with Kurt. But you brought up Santana. Santana's plot this episode was to get Finn to lose his virginity, the point being that she was tasked by Sue that everyone must go find a younger man.
Right.
Brittany's an overachiever and found a 7-year-old.
Yeah. Which is very uncomfortable. That was great. Sue's comment was, you have to be more like Madonna, which means you have to find a younger man. And she had some other like random list of tasks for them to perform. But anyway.
No last name. No last
name. Oh, yes. And I'll now be referring to everyone by their first name. And one of them went, yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's Becky Johnson. Oh,
yeah.
Becky.
Oh, Becky. That's right. So anyway, we had Santana and Finn, and essentially that kind of brings us to, I guess, the larger plot of this episode, which was everybody's banging, apparently. And that was our plot.
only one of the couples actually banged.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get there, but the whole concept
actually,
of this episode
was
like...
I don't think any of them did. You need to clarify this.
Okay, We'll get there. So we had three couples. We had Finn and Santana. We had Rachel and Jesse, and we had Will Schuster and Emma, who at one point Sue called Arlene. But
Arlene, I think it was.
Arlene. But we had the three couples that had all decided that they were going to get it on, and in each of the couples there was someone losing their virginity that we don't know about Jesse.
Jesse said, "What do you think?" in the previous episode, or maybe it was this episode.
What did he say?
So much happens. He's like, at the beginning of the episode, when Rachel was like, "I need to ask you guys something," and then Santana goes, "Yes, you should move to Israel." And then she was talking about how that they were gonna have that he like got her two gay dads weren't there after they came back from some musical or play, and they went upstairs to a room, and then he wanted to do the deed, and then Rachel's all like. Like, are you, like, I'm a virgin. Are you a virgin? He's like, what do you think? So I think he's not a virgin.
I think he is.
I don't think so at all.
I think he's not only a virgin. I think he's going to be gay. I think we're going to find out that Jesse is gay.
No, he's not. You're wrong. Incorrect. All right.
I just think that, like, it'll kind of tie into the whole, like, two gay dads thing. And I think
Rachel
that it,
deserves happiness.
Oh, I agree.
And it's not going to be Finn, and it's not going to be Puck, and it's not going to be Kurt, so it better be Jesse.
Was Kurt ever an option?
No. It's not going to be other Asian or other guy either, so.
So we had Finn and Santana, who were going to get it on. She was pretty direct with him and just said, hey, you know, let's make the beast with two backs. Her comment was that... it's a win-win. I'll get to be captain of the cheerleading squad, and you'll buy me dinner. And he goes, I don't understand what my win is. And she's like, no, for me. It's a win-win for me. So at that – go ahead.
Sorry. She was like, you get to sleep with me, and you get to make Rachel jealous.
there you go.
I don't know.
Thank you. So at the same time, we had Rachel. So it's hard to kind of separate the three plot lines, but let's go into some music because that'll...
Well, the teachers are pretty separate.
Yeah, that's true. We'll get to them.
Thank goodness.
So Rachel and Finn at one point performed a mashup as part of their assignment. And here is Borderline featuring Rachel and Finn.
Come down. If you want
My favorite thing about this number is as they were singing down the hallways of the school, there were characters in the background dressed up as every phase of Madonna's career.
Yes. My favorite part of this episode was the extras. That was my favorite part.
The what part?
Extras. The extras. The background extras.
Oh, totally. This was a really cool number. You know, Finn is kind of like growing as a performer in front of our eyes as much as Rachel kind of was a performer when she showed up. It makes for a really interesting twist to put them in the track together, you know, performing together. Jennifer, did you like this mashup this week?
Oh, it was adorable. It was really cute. And it was nice to kind of see them enjoy each other again and not have that drama weighing down them. Because even when they've done performances together, there's always been that tension. This is like the first time that they were kind of just having fun again together.
It's very true. So we had kind of, while we had Finn and Santana doing their thing, we had Rachel and Jesse doing their thing. Jesse, who at one point joins the Glee Club, says he's moving in with his uncle so that he's in the school district that he can sing in New Directions, and kind of throwing the group off. It was odd to see him there. Like, I don't know, how did you feel about it, Edward? It was just odd to have him in the room.
Edward?
You know, I really had no issue with it. I love Jesse, and someone brought this up to me. I was like, Jesse's just playing Rachel. I'm like, you're incorrect, because when Shelby, Idina Menzel's character, walked in on Jesse and Rachel hugging and whatever, macking, whatever, snogging, whatever they're doing, they saw each other, and everyone assumed that they were like in cahoots, but there was no nonverbal communication.
I think
that
you meant cahoots.
There was no nonverbal communication that implied that they were on some conspiring team together.
Right.
I think literally what happened was she just saw them and that's it. Like, that was the end of, and she's like, oh, not like, oh, good job, Jesse. No, it was like, oh.
Yeah, I kind of got the same impression because last week when we talked about this, like, he's so obviously playing her that I'm hoping he's really not.
Like, he can't be playing her.
They're doing everything to make it seem that way. And then, yeah, it's like that look between him and Idina Menzel was very confusing. But part of me did take it as, okay, she just bagged him doing something. Because, I mean, like, how could this possibly be good for them? Him leaving, other than, you know, if he's trying to sabotage the Glee Club, or, you know, if this is some big major plot to bring down New Directions and just, you know, at the sacrifice of Rachel, I don't think it's that elaborate a plot.
Well, this is how I say it. I mean, honestly, you guys make a really good point. It's hard to go forward with my theory that he was just, you know, conspiring to take them all down. Now that he's joining up with New Directions. But I don't know so much that he's joining up with New Directions. My hunch is he's going to try to take Rachel away. That he's going to come and be like, hey, I'm going to move back in with my family so that I can go back to Vocal Adrenaline. You can move in with me and you'll be in Vocal Adrenaline too.
Well, that's just
I know for a fact that's wrong. I know for a fact that's wrong.
Well, you don't know for a fact.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Inside sources. Inside, I know for a fact that's wrong.
All right.
Jesse is with New Directions on the recording of the season finale of Glee. I do know this for a fact.
Well, okay, we don't ruin too
much.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Good lord.
Just because we know that fact, we don't know the circumstances surrounding it. There could be an earthquake happening during that, and somehow everyone dies. Who knows?
Well, we will definitely see happens. Yeah, you're right. It could. There's a lot of things that could happen between then and now. So there's a lot of ways that could be justified.
Rachel has quit this quit Glee more times than there are episodes.
That's true.
Like, who knows? They could have quit. They could have joined Vocal Adrenaline for 4 episodes, come back. Move to China, come back. Who knows? Who knows?
Well, Jonathan Groff performed a song during the episode that actually got cut from the episode. It shows up on the Power of Madonna album that you can download from iTunes. I really like that they packaged all the songs from this episode in one album package so I can just hit download once as opposed to 4 times.
Yes.
Well, there's no Madonna songs on this on volume 3 soundtrack.
Ah, so this is separate.
Interesting.
Well, here's a Burning Up performed by Jonathan Groff, and this was cut from the episode, so let's give it a listen. Sorry.
Don't you know that I'm burning up for your love? You're not convinced that that is enough. I put myself in this position, and I deserve the imposition. But you don't even know I'm alive, and this pounding in my heart just won't die. I'm burning up.
I wonder if that number will end up on the next volume of the CD or DVD set.
Okay, but did he perform this New Directions or with Vocal Adrenaline?
We have no idea. All we know is that it's on the soundtrack. Ed?
It, there's no single soul voices behind it, so who knows?
That's true.
Yeah, but I'm still just curious.
I'm sure in the extended version of this episode, which I'm sure will be included on the DVD set, this scene will be in there.
So while we have Finn and Santana doing their thing and Rachel and Jesse doing their thing, we had Mr. Schuster and Emma. Emma being told by Sue Sylvester that she's not allowed to listen to Madonna music because she does not take ownership of her body, as she says. And so Emma decides that
she has the sexuality of a panda that sits in the corner and won't mate.
There you go.
That was awesome.
So she says to Mr. Schuster, "We're coming. I want you to come over tonight, and we're going to do the nasty. And foreplay will begin at 7:30 sharp."
So, is that okay with you? Not that it matters.
That was such a good line. Not that it matters. So yeah, that they got together, and that was pretty much the content of their plot line this week. Emma ended up kind of calling it off at the last minute and just not being ready. And they keep kind of coming back to this whole, hey, we're moving really fast, but at the same time, I really like you and I don't mind moving really fast. And we're going back and forth on this.
Well, I want to talk about this now. Rachel clearly didn't do the deed and neither did Emma.
Yes.
Now, I'm confused on Finn. Finn says, when confronted by Rachel, that he couldn't go through with it. And then, but contradictory, Santana says, yeah, it didn't, like, you have to do it 20 times to feel something. So
some kind of satisfaction or conquest?
Yeah, some kind of satisfaction of conquering or something. So I'm just confused as to whether or not it actually worked out for him. Like,
yes.
if he actually did it.
He did. He lied to Rachel because he really likes Rachel and didn't want to hurt her.
You think that? Okay.
And because ultimately he wants to be with her. And even though she says she did it with Jesse, he wants to be with her. So.
Yeah, that definitely seems to be the twist. But I do think that he did say, you know, I thought it'd feel different after or something like that. So.
Yeah.
So I definitely went with, you know, somebody had to. If they were to walk out of that scene and be like, nobody had sex, it would be a little too clean. Possibly, I don't know.
I don't know if it could have been clean, even if they didn't have sex. I think they crossed the line at one point or another.
So the funniest thing to me, and I pointed this out to Jennifer, was the three girls, how Santana was dressed in like Victoria's Secret wear, and Emma looked like she was, you know, Lucille Ball, and Rachel was like Maid Marian.
Yeah,
like she just like walked out of the 1940s or something absurd.
Yeah. Totally, yeah.
But they're all in purple. And did you notice Tina was wearing
all in purple?
They were all in and Tina was wearing purple eyeshadow.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
it was the theme
from last episode to this episode. Tina's highlights went from blue to purple. I
noticed. Okay, I noticed her highlights were purple, but I didn't notice they changed from last week. So look at the cover of the. It's purple.
That's true. Yeah, and the cover of this album collection
is purple. Mean empowerment?
You know, punk rock purple is what I heard on an episode of the animated version of Teen Wolf. So we can go ahead and take a listen to Like a Virgin, which was performed during the big sexy seduction number. This was a sexy number for television. I was kind of surprised by this one. It was a bit of a like a version with pretty much everybody, including Jonathan Groff, and some vocals by Santana. I don't know if she was lip syncing those, but if she was actually singing those, Santana has a voice we should be hearing more from. Here is like a version.
Incomplete. I've been had. I was sad and blue, but you made me feel. Yeah, you made me feel shiny and new. Like a virgin, touched for the very first time. Like a virgin, when your heart beats next to mine.
I'm gonna give you all my love, boy. My fear is fading fast.
Been saving it all for you, 'cause only love can last. You're so fine, and you're mine. Make me strong, yeah, you make me bold. Oh, you love that out. Yeah, you love that out. What was scary?
There are a lot of voices in this particular track kind of dancing around.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the other plots we had this week was Mr. Schuster trying to instill in the guys of the Glee Club more respect for the women of the Glee Club.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to see a bit of that with Artie and Tina. I think this is more Tina has said more lines in this episode than any time we've seen her before.
Seriously.
And I know, Ed, you like Tina a lot. That must have been really exciting to see her move around.
I like all the subplot characters. I honestly think the sooner we drop Finn, Rachel, and Puck, the better. Like, I am ready for the Brittany Kurt show, legitimately. Let's go.
And her explosion when she yelled at Artie walking down the hallway was just...
That was epic. I shouted that at someone
today. That was
today.
So great.
You shouted what at someone, Ed?
I shouted what Tina said, because.
What did she say? Wait, what specifically?
I will come crashing down like a righteous blade of equality. Or something to that effect.
She was great. And he ended up, you know, they ended up making up in the end. So it was kind of, we might see more Tina Artie in the future, which is very exciting. It's like you pointed out, he kept having this get on this.
The best part about that was not only was the get up on this was the fact that I've been me and my friends were talking about this all along about how goth was so 2 years ago. Like, goth was so 2 years ago. Lose it and get up to date. So it's just funny. It's just funny actually hearing what we said. And I've heard lots of people complain about how it always sounds like when they're doing the group numbers that there's like a large choir also singing. Mm-hmm. So it's like they almost like made fun of themselves. And also, it's just like, and also how people talk about how musicals and how it expresses their feelings. And when Jesse was like trying to knock on the door, it's like, maybe we should talk about it or sing about it.
Oh God, that was
awesome.
So it's like, I love that they hear the critiques and they respond accordingly. It's
great.
Beautiful.
A lot of
beautiful.
Jesse's character on this show is kind of poking fun at the stereotype that people expect this show to be. Because, you know, he is very pretty and he's a great singer, but he also says lines like, Finn, we both know where this is going. Sing off in the parking lot 2:30, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's a great element to him where he's kind of the writer's way of saying, like, this is what you think we're going to do.
Yeah, and we understand the absurdity of it. But we still love it, and we're playing with it, and just get over it.
What
that
was his? My favorite line, because I'm a great big musical theater dork, was his, I wanted to have this conversation with you in the Sondheim section, because he was the only one I thought that could represent the emotional depth. Like,
or
that was,
a melancholy, or oh, there was, yeah. there's something about...
Yeah, something about melancholy, too. Oh, my, that was just genius.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah, I heard you laugh in ways that I've never heard you laugh before.
Jesse kills me. Jesse's awesome.
It was great.
But it was cool. Back to Artie and Tina, you know, it was just really cool to kind of see them back. This episode had a lot of representation from the lesser characters. And and we got to hear Quinn say a line for the first time in 4 or 5 episodes. So that was exciting.
Totally forgot what she sounded like.
It's not four or five episodes. It was only two.
Yeah, she barely spoke at all last episode. But yeah, and it was nice of them to at least acknowledge that they started something with Artie and Tina and then stopped it.
Totally.
Or just dropped it. So I'm glad they went back to that.
They didn't drop it. They
well, they just
Artie
didn't
was mad
acknowledge
at her.
It. No. I'm saying I'm glad that after how many episodes ago, he finally acknowledged or the show acknowledged that something happened.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. I demand a Brittany Santana duet before the end of the season. So, or either that or a solo Brittany vocal. I demand it. I mean, I feel like I know everyone's voice, except I don't know Santana's, really. Like, even if I did hear a voice during Like a Virgin, I don't really know it. I don't really know what Britney's voice sounds like. I really don't know what other Asian. I really don't know what other guy.
Other Asian.
No, yeah. I don't know what the other guy's voice sounds like. But I don't really care about those two. Like, they're just there. They're just wallflowers to the backdrop that is Glee. But... I demand to hear Brittany's solo voice.
Well, at one point, Mr. Schuster got all the guys together and they performed What It Feels Like for a Girl.
This is the song.
Oh, this is the one you hadn't heard before.
I called it.
Jennifer totally called that.
Yeah. I forget which album it's on, but it's one of those, you know, B tracks that didn't really get much play, but I knew because I had the album. So
it was a big, like, I remember they played this all the time at like the WNBA finals and things like that. Like, I think this came out around Olympics time. Women's weightlifting. I think it came out around the Olympics because I remember hearing this in a lot of like television.
Sure,
promos.
Wasn't on a razor blade commercial.
There you go. All right. Well. Here's the guys performing What It Feels Like for a Girl. Right after Jules'
strong
intuition.
Inside, but you don't know it. Good little girls, they never show it. When you open up your mouth to speak, could you be a little weak? Do you know?
Listener Jonathan also sent in his other favorite quote of the episode, Puck saying, "No chick imitates Puckzilla."
Intimidates?
God, I cannot talk this way. I'm horrible.
But speaking of Puck,
it's
kind of
funny both ways.
Completely out of character this episode.
Really?
Completely. I mean, yeah, he's a dude, but he's also the same guy that said, "If I wore a dress to school, it'd be cool." So it just felt like I feel like the writers needed a character that was a strong masculine figure, and I assure you, Will Finn, we're not going to bring, and Will Finn and Kurt aren't going to bring that to the table, and Wallflowers aren't going to bring it to the table either. And Justin's art has his own storyline going on, so the only character that they could make use of for this purpose was Puck, but to me, it seemed out of character. And I know I'm not the only one who feels this way, because I've been talking to people about this.
No, actually, I do agree. He seemed overly objectionable to a lot of things, and I didn't get it. You know,
yeah,
he's gone along with a lot of crap.
He sang every song under the sun before. Uh-huh. Why is it all of a sudden a problem?
Yeah, he's saying Neil Diamond. You know, come on.
Yeah. But I didn't think. I mean, personally, I didn't find it too out of character because I do kind of see Puck as. He takes it to a point, you know, kind of like with Quinn, where he says, you know, I want to take care of my baby. I want to be, you know, a good father. But at the same time, he's saying, hey, don't put on too much weight because I don't like fat chicks.
I think supersize.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, Puck kind of is he's kind of a man child, I guess. That's kind of where he is. Like, he wants to be a grown up, you know, his body and his brain are growing faster than his hormones. And so, I don't know, to me it wasn't as out of character. Great episode, or great quotes from this episode. We had Will saying, "What comes to mind when you see the name Madonna?" And they said genius, icon, and Puck said Hall of Fame MILF. Sue said, you think this is hard? I'm passing a gallstone as we speak. That's hard.
A reference, also another reference to episode one.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, Ed, did you have any favorite quotes from this episode?
Well, pretty much everything's been covered. I mean, there's a little bit of banter between Finn and Santana. Was like, are we going to go out? Like, am I going to be able to talk to you this time? And she's like, I don't really talk. So it's, I don't know. It's not really nothing too spectacular. I'm excited for next week, as always.
Yeah, of course. And Jennifer pointed out this quote, Madonna, simply saying the word aloud makes me feel powerful, even in voiceover.
Oh, yes, that is true.
Yes.
But I think the misogynist, when I pulled my hamstring, I went to a misogynist, was pretty good. And can I ask you guys something private? Yes, you should move to Israel.
I pointed that out. That's one of my favorites. I've been, whenever someone asked me that, I said, I said that today to someone. Like, can I ask you something? Yes, you should move to Israel.
Actually, here's a good one. Sue had said, it's been the biggest dream of my career to pay homage to Madonna, the woman most responsible for my techno prisoner's attitude and my subconscious tendency to always be desperately looking for someone named Susan.
Okay, can you explain that to me? Because I didn't get it.
Jennifer?
Oh, wow.
85
movie. Desperately Seeking Susan, starring Madonna and Rosanna Arquette.
Yes.
And but the first time anybody really saw Aidan Quinn.
There you go.
So,
throughout the movie, different characters search New York City trying to find Susan, played by Madonna.
Yes.
There you go. You should check that one out, Ed. It's actually, as far as Madonna movies go,
as far as
not the worst one she
80s
made.
Kind of kooky romantic comedies, not too bad either.
Yes. Yeah, skip Bodies of Evidence. Skip Swept Away.
Skip Dick Tracy.
Tracy's awesome. Oh, come on.
I have a right to my opinion. Skip Dick Tracy.
Definitely see A League of Their Own. That one kicks ass.
Yeah, she's actually acting in that one, too.
That's true. She doesn't act very often. She kind of is just like, hey, I'm hot. Kind of weird. Kind of intense, and I threaten you. So, that's pretty much it. We'll be back next week. Ed, did you want to thank any iTunes reviewers?
Yes. Mikhail, YBT7168, Crazy Insano 0507, The Major One, Nifty Thrifty. Thank you for the reviews. Please review us.
It's awesome.
I love it. We were I haven't checked today, but just yesterday we were number 5.
Nice.
So that's sweet.
That's exciting. I also wanted to thank a couple of our listeners who emailed us. We mentioned Sergio and Jonathan before. I wanted to thank listener Sarah, who said that Terry should sing What I Did for Love from A Chorus Line, which is kind of cool.
Interesting.
Listener Mindy and listener Palexia, I think those are the ones that emailed us this week, but I'm sorry if I missed anybody. Obviously, listener Nicole, who listened to our other podcast. And I think that's about it as far as this episode goes. We do have one more song to listen to. The group performed Like a Prayer at the end of the episode. So,
you mean the song I sang all day today?
Exactly. it was a pretty good track, the Like a Prayer. You know, the thing about it was the first time we'd seen, or I'm sure we'll do it again, but it was the first time we saw Finn, Rachel, and Jesse kind of in a moment together performing. And it'll be interesting to see how they change over time, if that's going to become a drama. Let's see. Oh, listener Palexia here says, I was expecting to see a Finn-Rachel twirl, the thing they do all the time during performance on the last song, but then realized it when it began that Jesse's new directions now. And so I thought, whether he's the new lead, maybe he'd be doing the twirl that they usually share. So we'll definitely have to see how that develops as we move on. Guys, anything else to talk about with Madonna?
No.
Or the episode? So a couple of people asked about the contest that we'd mentioned on the episode last week. We'll probably do this for another couple weeks, just until we don't think anybody else wants to submit. But a couple weeks ago, we had said if you'd like to enter the contest, we have a couple soundtracks to give away. And if you are interested in the soundtracks, we're asking people pick a song that you think should be performed on the show. And not only tell us who's going to perform it or who you think should perform it, but give us a little story, just a little bit, kind of telling us why it should be performed and what the circumstances would be surrounding that performance. We've got some cool ideas going so far. Put contest in the subject line so we don't lose you. And I know Ed is definitely going to passionately pour over them with his own curating eye.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, it's a good one. We will talk to everybody next week. Until then, I've been Josh.
I've been Jen.
OM Glee Jazz Hands. Peace out.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Are you clapping?
Babies.